bulletin. But I want to talk over the next few Sundays about the Beatitudes. And so our sermon for today is on the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. And our text, our main text, comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And it encompasses the first of the Beatitudes, as I said. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Matthew 5, verses 1 through 3. Now when he, speaking of Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Keep your Bibles handy, because we're going to look at a couple of other passages as the message progresses. The Beatitudes, of course, I hope you know, come from the opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Now, some of the Beatitudes are repeated in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain that's recorded in Luke, but this is what we traditionally know and are taught are the Beatitudes, those opening verses in the Sermon on the Mount. And each of these verses begins with the phrase, "Blessed are." And each beatitude speaks of a blessing or divine favor bestowed upon a person resulting from that person having a certain character quality. Someone has said the Beatitudes should be are called such because they are good attitudes in which to be. And that's true, but such attitudes are not popular today in the world or even in the church as a whole. In our text, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This idea is repulsive to many, particularly those who are not believers and those who do not attend God's church and hear God's word preached and God's word taught. The world would have us to be proud of spirit, haughty, arrogant, self-sufficient, self-reliance, because poor in spirit speaks of lowliness and repentance and neediness. But Jesus said such people are to be blessed, and theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. The word translated blessed is merikosis. It describes the joy which has its secret within itself. It's a joy which is completely independent of chance or change in a person's life. It's a joy which comes to us even in pain and sorrow. It is a blessedness which exists here and now. The joy is not in some realm into which we shall enter. We have entered that realm and shall find the consummation there in the future, when we meet with our Lord, are living in his kingdom, sitting around his throne, loving him and him loving us. This beatitude could also be translated to be congratulated are the poor in spirit, because congratulations are in order for the person who recognizes his or her desperate need for Jesus in their life. We cannot know the bliss and joy and happiness of being a Christian and knowing Jesus as Master and Lord and Savior until we recognize we are poor in spirit and we are sinners in need of a Savior. Therefore, the blessed ones about whom Jesus was speaking in this first beatitude are poor in spirit. They are conscious of the fact that they have an utter need for Christ in their life. Now, this poor in spirit does not mean poor-spirited or no backbone or fake humility, all of which say, I am worthless and no good. There are two words for poor in the New Testament. One is penes, P-E-N-E-S, and this word describes a person for whom life is a struggle. Many of us have experienced this type of life, have experienced this way of being poor. It is the reverse of affluence, but nevertheless, these people get by. Many of us can remember the days of paying three bills one month and then paying three different bills the next month and then paying the first three again. We were making it, but we were not affluent. And the other word is patotus, and this word describes abject poverty. It speaks of a person who possesses nothing, one who lives in acute destitution. And it is this word which is used in the text when Jesus speaks of those who are poor of spirit. Now remember, Jesus is speaking of spiritual poverty. He never condoned physical poverty as a good lifestyle for anyone. He is speaking to the person who has a sense of his own destitution in the sight of God. A person who knows that he has a need in his or her heart that only God can fulfill. He is speaking of the person who can only say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Such person is so conscious of his or her desperate need in their life, and they are certain that God and only God can supply and meet that need. Such person is poor in spirit, and Jesus says the kingdom of heaven will be theirs if they recognize that need and fill it with God, with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want us to examine a couple examples of poor in spirit. First, let's look at the Pharisee and the tax collector about which Luke wrote in chapter 10 of his gospel, chapter 18 of his gospel, verse 10 through 14. Luke 18, verse 10 through 14. And this is Jesus speaking. He is told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Remember in this section of Luke's gospel that Jesus is speaking to those, if you look at verse 9, if you haven't closed your Bible, Jesus is speaking to those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. And this pretty much is the spot-on definition or the description of a Pharisee. Jesus is speaking of self-effort. We've talked about this from this pulpit before. If you are trusting in your own abilities, in your own talents, in your own efforts to gain entry into heaven, well, I've got a news flash. You're not going to get there. We must come to Christ with nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring, only on the cross I cling. The Pharisee. This is a guy that was in love with himself, so to speak. He went to the temple to pray, and such is a commendable act, because men and women should go to the church and pray. They should pray in their homes, should pray whenever the occasion dictates that they should do so. But yet Jesus said the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. I'm sure he thought he was praying to God, but he had eye trouble. Not EYE trouble, but eye trouble. I am not like this other man, the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. I want us to notice that the Pharisee's arrogance and pride in what he had done, or the Pharisee's arrogance and pride is in what he has done or is doing. And this is an attitude of self-righteousness. He certainly was not poor in spirit. The Pharisees had no needs at all, according to him. He was perfect, so to speak. Now, the tax collector also went to pray. And I want us to notice his attitude and his brokenness that comes through from just his posture and just what he prays. The tax collector stood at a distance. He was humble. He didn't want necessarily to be seen. He didn't want to draw attention to himself. He did not even look up to heaven. He was so conscious about his guilt and sinfulness before the holy God. The tax collector beat his chest as an expression of his deep, deep sorrow over his sinfulness. His prayer was not as elegant as the Pharisees. All he could say was, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This man recognized that he had a need in his life and that only God could fulfill that need. He was poor of spirit, yet he recognized that and asked God for help so he shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. I want us to look at two churches in the book of Revelation in regard to this examples of poor in spirit. That's Smyrna and Laodicea. If you'll turn again to Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, we'll read something about the church of Smyrna. Revelation 2, 9. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The church at Smyrna could be called the rich, poor church. They were poor in possessions and wealth. They faced many tribulations and pressures. But they were rich in terms of their faith and the hope and the love that God had for them. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. Now we look at the church at Laodicea. If we'll turn to chapter 3, verse 17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This church at Laodicea could be called the poor rich church. They were rich in material possessions. They had everything money can buy. We can imagine a beautiful synagogue with thinking in modern times of chandeliers and stained glass windows and huge pipe organ and a big choir and several associate pastors or rabbis assisting the senior rabbi. But they were lukewarm towards God. And God was on the verge of spitting them out of his mouth, getting them out of his life, not paying any attention to them, because not only were they lukewarm, they were spiritual paupers and spiritually ignorant. The church at Laodicea did not know they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And Jesus stood outside the church at Laodicea seeking entrance. If Jesus is outside of your life, then you are lost. I don't know any other way to say it. You know, I could dress it up, I could tone it down. But if Jesus is outside of your life, you're lost. And I also want to tell you that he desires to be a part of your life. Jesus took the initiative. He died on the cross for all of your sins. And he rose from the grave and lives today. And he's waiting for you to realize your desperate need for him. He's waiting for you to be blessed because you are poor of spirit. That you need him, that you need the gift of salvation, and he is ready to give it to you. And as I told you last Sunday, that Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, and if you do not open the door, Jesus cannot come in. He won't push the door open, he won't break the door down, but he wants to come in. And to be a part of your life and to bless you. So if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior as of today, we invite you to do so. If you have, you need to re-examine your attitude. Because even if you are a believer, you still need to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You still need to be humble in your spiritual spirit in order that you can inherit the kingdom of heaven. So invite those who wish to express the fact that they've accepted Christ as their Savior to come forward, and we'll announce that and pray with you and talk about where we go from here. Our invitation hymn this morning is number 288, Where He Lives.